Hi, listeners. Stories have so much power, and so does whoever controls the narrative. It is time that we dissect and analyze these stories. I am Vipul, and this is Woke Tales. Hi everyone. As I continue to bring stories with witches and spooky October, today's story is from Southeast Africa. On that witchy note, it's story time. The story starts off by introducing us to a woman with a delightful little boy called Moti Katika, and a less delightful husband who is described as being rather teasy-tempered. And by that I think she means he's a nightmare. One day he takes himself to bed and makes a lot of noise about being ill. But when his wife brings him water from the well, he knocks the pitcher right off her hand and insists that this is contaminated by frogs. So his wife goes to a nearby lake and brings a new pitcher back to her husband's sick bed. He smashes this one too. "How can I drink such water?" he demands. "Don't you know there are toads in the lake?" His wife takes a third pitcher and presumably a very deep breath and goes off to a different lake in the hope her husband might drink from this one. But no, apparently it reeks of reeds. The woman is now running out of options. She leaves the house for the fourth time, with the fourth pitcher in hand, and walks for a long time, until she comes to a third lake. This time, she takes in the state of water with enormous care. No frogs, no reeds. Could this water actually be acceptable? The woman fills her pitcher, and out of the water emerges an enormous water witch. She wants to know who has the nerve to go stealing her water. The woman spills her story, explaining that her husband is in need of the purest water, and no water seemed more pure than what is in this lake. When this cuts no ice with the water witch, the woman pleads that her husband and son could not manage without her, which is undeniably true. The water witch is intrigued by the mention of a son. "Is he sweet? Is he toothsome? Is he beautiful?" she inquires. You'd think that the word toothsome would alert the woman to what this question is really about, but she gushes unthinking praise of her son's beauty. The woman herself is very thin, not an appealing meal. The witch decides to let her go and come tomorrow to collect Moti Katika in her stead. She instructs the woman to cut his hair and place a necklace of white beads on him so the witch will recognize him, because she knows that if she goes about eating random children, then the village will exact retribution. "And I do not choose," she tells the woman loftily, "to have my peace disturbed and my lake sullied by a mob of village hooligans." By the time the woman gets home, her husband is bored of staying in bed and downs the water without argument, announcing himself cured. When Moti Katika returns home from school, his mother tells him urgently that he must hide the next day, or else a water witch will eat him up. He is not concerned in the least, because Moti Katika has a secret. A while ago, he was picking wild berries and gave everything he found to an old woman struggling past through the woods. She was really a fairy, as passing old ladies so often are. And in gratitude for his gift, he gave him 5 bones. If he lays them out on the ground and speaks to them politely, they will show him what to do. So, with the witch on her way, Moti Katika lays out the bones. He considers a row. "This bone is my mother," he decides, touching the first bone. The second he calls his father. The third, the witch, and the fourth, himself. The fifth is the bone that will tell him what to do about all of it. The bone bounces off the grass and whispers its answer straight into his ear. Motikatika packs up the bones, goes inside, and asks his mother to cut his hair. She cries the whole time and is crying the next morning as she puts on the white bead collar specified by the witch. But her son is perfectly calm. "There's no need to cry," he informs his mother. "Water witches are very stupid people, but I'm not stupid." And indeed, he's not. He gathers up every boy in the village, gives them white collars, cuts their hair, and gives them directions in Operation Defeat Water Witch. Very soon, the wind picks up, and the ground shakes, and the witch is stomping towards them. "Which one of you is Motikatika?" she demands, and every boy sings out that it's him. "Can't she see it's him?" She does not dare eat up all the children of the village, so she has to leave, but she hasn't given up. She corners Motikatika's mother and menaces her. The poor woman, who must be used to impossible people after dealing with her husband for so long, placates the witch by inviting her into the house for a pot of maize. The witch proceeds to eat the literal pot. While she's busy with that, Motikatika's mother frantically hisses at her son to run and hide. He does, but only to quietly consult with his bones. The fifth bone leaps up, bumps against the boy's shoulder, and transforms into a bee. It buzzes right off and stings the witch's nose. Motikatika's mother hastily assures the angry witch that her son will be here in the night. He will be in his bed right here, so if the witch returns, she will get her meal. The witch believes that this downtrodden woman will give up her child that easily and comes back after dark. What she doesn't know is that her mother and son have put up a big stone in the little bed, wrapped in a quilt, so when the witch comes barging into the house and snatches up what she thinks is a boy, she's actually swallowing down something that even she struggles to digest. It's the beginning of a dreadful stomachache. "Boys, boys," she wails. "If this is what comes to eating boys, though I should live for 1,000 years, I will never eat another." And we are assured, indeed, she did not. The end. This story would be charming just for the "I'm Spartacus" moment with the village boys, but I also love Motikatika's mother, who is underestimated by the witch from the moment they meet, but never for 1 minute plans to give up on her son. As for the husband, he's a footnote. He's a backstory. He's irrelevant and the story knows it, because he does not feature at all in the happy ending. On that note, bye for now. Let me know your thoughts on the story and our discussion by emailing me on woketalespodcast@gmail.com or through social media at woketalespodcast on Instagram and woketalespod on Twitter. And please rate, review, and like Woketales Podcast, and don't forget to subscribe so you can easily access our weekly stories. If you have any story recommendations, or if you want to come dissect and analyze a story with me, give me a shout out on email or social media, because whatever you do, keep dissecting and keep analyzing.